Welcome to the Experts in Sport podcast, brought to you by the School of Sport, Exercise and Health Sciences at Loughborough University.
Today I'm with international alumni, professional footballer and philanthropist, Aditi Chauhan. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Today we're going to talk about your time at Loughborough and your experience of playing football for West Ham. And then we're going to focus on the evolution of football, both in the UK and India, around women. But before we do, can you get us started on your experience? What got you into football and how that's evolved over the years?
Yeah, so, talking about my childhood, I was always an active kid, born in a military family. I think sports came naturally to me and my brother. My dad played tennis. My grandparents on my maternal side also were in sports. So I think it came naturally to me, and I was one of those kids in school who basically the sports teachers, you know, try to play in every, make them play in every team or event that the school participates. So I was one of them. And that's how football eventually came into my life. I used to do taekwondo, karate. I was a district level basketball player. I have a black belt in karate. I've also played, district level in athletics. So every sport that I was introduced in school, I played, and that's how football was introduced as well. My basketball teacher, he told me that there was a, I used to play a little bit of football with my brother and with my friends, but I never played competitive football. And there was a trial for the under-19 Delhi state team. And looking at my basketball background, hand-eye coordination, I think my basketball coach suggested that I should try out as a goalkeeper. And I went and did that. I was just excited to play another sport. And eventually, after that camp, I was selected as a third choice keeper, who basically, you know, don't have anything to do, but they just are in the team in case there's an injury, but they don't really get to play. But I was still happy to be part of the team and get to travel with the team. But fortunately, during that experience, I did play one competitive match as a 16-year-old kid in the Delhi team. And I think that first experience really was very inspirational for me in terms of the joy and happiness that I got while playing football as a goalkeeper, especially. I think it just brought out the best part of the competitive side that I have in me and try to be the best player on the pitch. I think that's something that helped me stay in this game and pursue this for so long.
And then how did that develop then from 16? I mean, that's really interesting. You've done multi-sports. I see nowadays, I coach my boys under sevens team. So many of the boys just want to play football. It's all they want to do. But it's interesting to hear that, yeah, you know, you were playing totally many other sports that provided and assisted with those skills for playing football. Not right. My personal opinion, kids at those younger ages should be playing as much sport, different sports as possible.
Absolutely.
So did you carry on playing those other sports when you started playing our Delhi team?
So, yeah, during school I did play, but as I came to class 11th, obviously the priorities that you have, they change. So I didn't have a lot of time to play multiple sports. I had a conversation with my sports teacher, and he basically said that, you know, you have to decide, because I was also in a dilemma, which sport should I pursue, because I enjoyed playing all the sports. He, in a very simple conversation and simple way, he just asked me, what do you want to do? Do you want to be average in multiple sports, or do you want to excel in one sport? And for me, that right there was the answer, because I, being the competitive person that I am, I wanted to excel. And the answer was clear that I have to choose one sport to actually dedicate full time to that. Full time in the sense, because the other priority of my life was also education, because that was the condition from my family to pursue education. And if you do that, if you get enough and good marks, you can play as much as you want. So to fulfill that condition in order for me to play, those were the two priorities in my life. So there were, with the limited time that we had during the day, these were the two priorities that I created for myself. I had to obviously, give up on the time of, you know, social interactions or social experiences, having a lot of friends, going out, and that social time, that I had to forego that in order to pursue these things.
And that's a choice people have to make. I think it's a good advice you were given, but obviously that was at 16 years of age?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've played those multi-sports, then specialised. Again, that's personal opinion. I think that's a great way to go. So you mentioned education, and obviously we know you came to Loughborough. What did you do before coming to Loughborough?
I completed my school in Delhi, and that was also from a military family. My dad got posted around a lot. But my parents realized that in order for us to have good education, it was important that we study in Delhi and not go to any remote locations where my dad usually gets posted. So they had really a good sense of it. And fortunately, we studied at a good school in Delhi, Amity Saket, where I got all of these experiences with different sports and could also pursue it, which might not have been possible if we were traveling and we were in remote locations. The possibilities, the opportunities are not equal everywhere. So with that, I completed my BCom honors from Delhi University again. And very fortunate that while I was doing my undergraduate course, I realized and I got the exposure to see that there are so many opportunities to study sports industry and be a part of the sports industry, which was a very new and different concept for India, because we still are evolving in the sports industry. We're not as professional as maybe the sports industry that you have in the UK. We didn't even have sports management courses here, because I tried to figure out if there's a college here that I can go to. And that is the reason why, because that there was no sports management course in India, I decided to, I did my research. Even the career counselors that I went to at that time, they didn't have a clue about sports management. So I had to basically do most of my research on my own. And that's when I came to realize that Loughborough is the best sports university in the world, and decided to go there.
And it's great to hear you did. I've worked with quite a few Indian students from our master's program. So this podcast itself, when we started this 3 years ago, had a number of students help me develop it. One of them was an Indian student. Right. And I should have spoke to him beforehand, because I would mention his name, but I haven't asked him. So he was unbelievable. It wouldn't be where it is without him. And I had another Indian student who actually worked on another project. She played football as well. Mm-hmm. And again, we've had some great students come from India who have a real impact when they've come over here in working with us on things. So, it's been, and I know Joe Piggin, so he sends his regards. I think he was program director when you were here.
Yes, he was. Yes. Very nice guy, very, very helpful throughout the course, and fortunate to have studied under him and get his guidance through the time I spent there.
Well, yes, again, with this podcast, he's a great guy. And yeah, he helped me with this, because he recorded, the first or second podcast as a favour to get things started. So thanks, Joe, if you're listening. So your time at Loughborough, let's go for your time at Loughborough. How did you find your time at Loughborough, like the change, and where does football come in when you came to Loughborough?
One of the biggest reasons why I chose Loughborough was also because they had an active women's team. I knew even before, obviously I saw the courses, but before coming to the UK, I again connected with Joe, connected with other alumni of the course from India to really understand the playing culture and playing aspect. Because yes, I knew education would be there, but the main reason I wanted to come to UK was also to test myself, because I was already playing for the senior India team. I wanted to continue my education, but also continue playing and competing and testing myself in the UK to really understand where do I stand in the UK standards, because obviously it was more developed. Women's football was much more developed, and the quality of football is higher. So it was basically a test for me in both the aspects. And I think the whole experience, the whole decision of coming to UK to pursue pursue my education, the exposure was a pivotal moment in my life that, you know, the everything that I was exposed to here and really coming out of my comfort zone from India, because the Indian culture is a very protective and comfortable environment. You, the family is close by, they take care of you. Suddenly you come into a culture where you're basically on your own, you have to figure out everything on your own, you're an adult. And of course, the development that you're exposed to in terms of when it comes to my experience, the whole idea was what I do right now in India, in a lot of way was inspired by my time in the UK. Everything that I was exposed to, what I saw, what I linked, I could realize where India was lacking and what's the gap that I can fulfill. And that's how it went. So I give a lot of credit to my parents and also the courage that they showed in order to send me to the UK, because again, financially, it was a huge challenge. They had no clue and no idea about what the future or potential career options for me would look like after doing a course like, you know, sports management. Because like I said, there was no sports industry. Everybody, and especially parents, always thought that, you know, it's always better to maybe more secure to do a engineering degree, or you get into a corporate and do 9-to-5 job. Sports was completely new, at least, and it's come a very, very long way, I think, in India over these years.
Let's focus on that. I mean, we could advertise the course, you know, but everyone can go out there and see our rankings and all those kind of things. So, you know, we do very well with international students coming, especially studying sport management. So it'd be interesting to talk about the changes that you did see, or the differences that you experienced in the UK and what you may have taken back to India, but particularly around your footballing career. So you came to Loughborough and you played for Loughborough, and then you went on to play for West Ham. How did that happen?
Yeah, so I played for Loughborough when I was studying. And after completing the course, I got an internship at Decathlon London. That's how I moved to London to complete my internship. That is also part of the course. And I realized that London, obviously, there's so many more options that I had in terms of playing that I had in at Loughborough. There are clubs everywhere, every little local, you would have a local club close by wherever you're staying. Various leagues or divisions of leagues that were played, even in women's football, you would see that in men, but I didn't know something like that existed in women as well, and that's possible. That's the kind of structure that is needed for football to grow in a country. Having realized that, I started looking for clubs that were close to where I was staying. Millwall was the first club that I went to, did trials there, which was the second division club back then. And I did trials for maybe 2 weeks. And at the end of the trial, when they selected me, they liked me. When they were trying to do the registration online, they realized that since I was on student visa, I could not be registered for a professional or semi-professional club. But the goalkeeper coach at Millwall, he was also the coach of West Ham, which was a third division club back then. And he said that they're also looking for a goalkeeper and asked me to go and give trials there. Got selected in the first team, and that's how basically West Ham happened. It was not intentional. It was never planned that I wanted to play for West Ham. Just out of interest of playing and competing, it happened to be West Ham for me.
Ah, interesting story. So, you know, took the opportunity and ended up at West Ham. So what would you say that your experience of playing women's football was in the UK compared to playing in India? So did you experience any discrimination whilst playing, or have you in either India or the UK?
Well, the first experience that I had there was not in terms of discrimination, but just I would talk about the quality of football. You know, I'm just coming in and all the girls who are training at West Ham, it's basically an evening session. All the girls who are part of the team are full-time professionals doing multiple jobs during the day. some in banking, some in corporate 9-to-5 job, and they come in the evening. All of us come in in the evening, and the first thing that we do is play Rondo. And I thought, I've just come for the first session, and I was just thinking that we'll ease into it, slowly we'll start, and then obviously get warmed up, and that's how the session starts. And I come into a Rondo, and they're flying tackles, and people sliding coming in, and I was just taken aback for a moment. And for me to realize that, like, the whole mentality was so different. You would usually in India, what I felt was the approach that we have is, you slowly get into it. You have come for a session, but you're not really switched on until you're really warmed up. But there, the intensity and the mindset is that we're investing our time. Just make the most of the time that you're getting there. And that's the commitment. I think that was the most differential part of my experience. And I immediately, got on my toes, and I realized, I have to really be switched on. They're not, having fun here. Even though it wasn't a professional club, but it's not that easy. The level and the intensity is so much higher than what I had experienced in India.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear. So, everybody highly competitive, I suppose, ready to compete and take it as seriously as possible at that highest level, very professional approach. So in terms of facilities and things, because you've already really highlighted, probably without trying, the inequalities that exist there. So we're talking, yeah. West Ham males team are, highly respected professional football team, but yet, all the ladies who were playing when you were doing this were working full time and playing in an evening. What were the facilities like that you were training in?
Yeah, I mean, we were training in the academy setup of West Ham, though. So I felt like because back then the women's team wasn't officially part of the main club; it was a separate entity. It is only recently that West Ham women's team became an integral part of the main club. And they've obviously got more access to the facilities than before. But even back then, we were using the same facility as the academy boys. So they have a good setup even for the academy. There was a physio, obviously everything was very planned, organized. A lot of facility, the ground was great. And so the whole experience was very different from I'd never got exposed to that kind of setup in India. In India, growing up, even when I decided to pursue football, I didn't have a place to train. There were no clubs or academies close by. Being a goalkeeper, you need special training. I had no goalkeeper training while growing up. Most of the training that I got was during the national team camps. And there's no competitions. We used to spend years. I remember, I think it was a 2-year period when we didn't play a single match. And that's the kind of setup that I came from. And then coming to UK and seeing such an organized structure, even at the university level, there are 4 teams, even for the university. Then you come to West Ham, which is a 3rd division club, and there are 2 divisions above that, the multiple divisions below that, even for a women's game. And then I also did a thesis on how women's football in the UK grew as part of my sports management degree. And I during my study I realized that it was a very well planned and structured approach from the FA, getting the help of the Premier League, getting the help of the clubs, that really helped them develop. And now you see the women's team, competing and being one of the candidates for winning the World Cup or the Olympics. So they've come a very long way from considering, that women's football was actually banned in the UK, about 50, 60 years. Yeah. And then now being one of the candidates for winning the World Cup is a huge journey that they've taken. And I felt like the experience that I had, maybe if I can implement part of that in India, maybe I can also contribute in our dream of playing the World Cup and being in the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, the evolution, you've really kind of touched upon how football has evolved, especially in the UK. Speaking of West Ham, I think that that's a similar story for many clubs, that the women's team sat at the side using the badge, but pretty much that was it. It sounds like West Ham were ahead of many clubs with using the academy facilities at the time. But now, you know, in the last 5 years or so, the evolution of women's football has been huge. And especially, I've got a few stats here just to kind of talk us through this evolution in the UK, because obviously since England winning the Euros, there's been huge growth even further within the women's game. So some of the statistics are saying that there's now more than 100,000 more girls playing football than there were 5 years ago. There's been a 30% mm-hmm. increase in female registered teams, a 21% increase in female registered referees. There's been a huge increase in young females doing the qualifications for refereeing. And there's been a 75% increase in female coaches working with affiliated clubs. So we know that's coming from low numbers, and it's not, you know, anywhere near in line with the men's game in the UK at the moment. But the evolution is huge. And people are growing. People's interest is growing in watching the sport. The spectatorship of the Euros final, it was the record for any Euros ever, including men's game. So, you know, you've got some huge numbers happening in women's sport. So how has your experience in the UK and obviously the sport management degree helped you in India in terms of the development and the evolution of women's sport and women's football there?
Yeah, so when I realized that, you know, this is the kind of structure that is needed, what kind of environment a player needs, the professional environment, what kind of resources are needed, facilities needed. I came back to India. Unfortunately, while playing for West Ham, I injured my ACL. That's the reason why I came back to India. And I thought, you know, it's very important for me to invest this time and energy in something positive. And that's when I started or came up with the idea of my initiative, She Kicks. And the idea was to help more girls get into sports, get into football, and also give the players a right environment, professional environment, safe environment for them to pursue their interest and passion towards football. And hopefully from my experience and from my guidance, whatever experiences that I've got, I can help the next generation, show them the right direction and facilitate their interest and provide the best platform for them to pursue their interest and passion. Something that I missed out on, something that I never got, and a lot of hidden trials that I had to do and figure things out, because this was a completely unexplored and path. So if I can make this journey a little bit easier for the other girls, that was the whole idea, how I came up with She Kicks. So right now we have, we've registered a foundation. We are training 30 underprivileged girls, training them throughout the year, free of cost. I also have a club registered, so they have exposure to competitive environment, get proper facilities and access to right professionals. And the whole idea is in the future, we can contribute and produce some national team players.
You've mentioned two real interesting things that link with kind of inequalities. And I just wonder whether these inequalities exist and what level they exist to in India. So in terms of in girls in particular, are there inequalities that exist across male and female sports within India? So is it more difficult for females to participate?
Of course it is. And I think that is the case everywhere across the world. That is why you feel... You still see a country like US and US women's national team, who's so successful, who's so developed country, still fighting for equal play. See, if that is the case in a developed country like US, imagine what would be the case in Delhi with our culture, in India, in our culture, where obviously there are better opportunities and better facilities available for men compared to women. We still have a very long way to go. But hopefully, I am positive that seeing the development and changes in terms of the facilities and opportunities over the years, I've been playing for, you know, I've past 15 years, and the kind of development that I see now is much better than what I had back then. And I think people like individuals, I also feel that it's a responsibility of individuals along with, of course, the federation, but also various other stakeholders. Every stakeholder needs to take up the responsibility and contribute to make things better. It can't be one entity's job, or you can't just sit back and keep saying that somebody should do something. You have to contribute as well.
Definitely, and I think your contribution is hopefully moving things forward. I did look at some of the statistics around this, and it was interesting to see, you know, this was a report from the BBC that suggested, you know, the same old things coming out. So sport was deemed not suitable for women. But some of the interesting ones, so even this, 29% believe women are not strong enough to play sport. So all these old things that, you know, we've all heard before. But the numbers around it were saying, so 42% of men played sport compared to only 29% of women. We look a lot at physical activity in the UK, and some of the Sport England stuff suggests that only 50% of young people hit those guidelines, but it's 45% for girls, so it's a little bit lower. And then in terms of ethnic diversity, again, people from Black and Asian minority backgrounds are more like 41% of those young people participate, whereas white backgrounds, it's 50%. Are you aware of those disparities? Because you mentioned kind of underprivileged girls that you're kind of trying to target. So is that because of these extra barriers that are in place, not only for girls, but also whether that be socioeconomic groupings or ethnic diversity within India?
Yeah, I think they're both aspects to it. Obviously, our Indian culture, I think growing up, even the experience that I had, the reason why we were not really pushed towards sports and gave importance to education, because, you know, we realize, and the kind of environment that we grew up in, through education, you have a secured future. That's the, I think that was the idea, that you will earn for yourself and you'll be able to sustain yourself through education. While sports industry wasn't very developed in India, even if you played sport, there's no security. So obviously there's a cultural barrier towards girls, but it was many folds bigger because there's also no security in the future. Even if the girls play any sport today, what is the future? How is it going to secure their future? I think that is the biggest reason, and that's what I've experienced through my conversations, through my experiences here in India, playing for the national team. There are other girls who come from various different backgrounds, and the reason why they're able to pursue or they decided to pursue football was because they saw an opportunity to get a government job, which made their future secure. That's a huge motivation for them. So I think that is one reason, but I also feel that culturally in our society, women are, I think, and probably women everywhere, we have to be pushed a little bit more to take decisions for ourselves. And we're so dominated by men around us in our society that sometimes we forget that we can take our own decisions and pursue our goals. I think, yeah, they're both these aspects that I feel.
It's really interesting you talk about jobs, because we do have that difficulty, you know, within sports management to recruit females onto the course. You'd have probably noticed when you were on the course that there was more males than females on our course. And when I've dug into that, there is some research to suggest that actually females are more likely to pursue courses where there is a career at the end of it, and they understand what that career is. So highlighting there, what you've highlighted there, is you've shown that's very similar in India. Because I think one of the other stats that's interesting, where something like medical careers, there's actually more females in medical careers or medical courses than there are males. And again, that points to the same thing, that actually you do a medical degree, there's basically a guaranteed job at the end of it. We probably need to do that better job of advertising what jobs there are available out there.
And I also feel that, you know, why an important factor that helped UK grow was also, in terms of women's football, was also the professionalism that came into the FA, the revamping of the league. There was, again, what I said about FA and the planning was that they basically, had a conversation and an understanding with the Premier League clubs to help manage the salaries, because there were players in the national team who were contracted by the FA, so half the salary was paid by the FA, so that there's a lesser burden on the clubs initially to start with to pay the salaries of the women players. And that's how it progressed. So more as professionalism developed in the sport, obviously there'll be more girls playing. They see a future. It is worth dedicating so much time and effort into the sport, because you will get a positive result out of it and you will have a career out of it. And that is why in India, I keep emphasizing and I keep pointing out that the first and the most important thing for us is to develop the Indian league, make it more professional, have more clubs here, and really show that this is a career option. It's not just a hobby that you can pursue, but it's a professional career option as well. And actually touching upon why I decided to do sports management was, I knew that there's no future. I knew there's no, sports manager or that kind of job waiting for me after I completed. But for me, being in sports and being connected and being close to the sport was what I valued more than maybe the salary that I would get after completing the course. So I believed in myself and the interest where I had to take that chance of pursuing it and see what I can do with it.
And that's just a positive message to pursue your interests, pursue what you're passionate about. Because I can hear your passion, coming across for what you've achieved so far and what you want to achieve. You touched upon She Kicks and trying to get these girls going, and you've started to touch upon the evolution and what's next for women's football in India. So in terms of women's football in India, where would this investment come from? Because obviously, there's been huge successes in sport within India, such as the IPL and the investment that kind of came there. Obviously, cricket being the number one sport in India. Where does football sit in general? And where do you think this type of investment might be able to come from to develop this?
I think football is the next sport after cricket in India now. There's a huge amount of interest. Everyone was surprised. The Indian men's national team played a tournament recently, international tournament recently, and the stadium was packed. And that was something we experienced for the first time in a city like Bangalore. So that just goes to show that the interest, the passion has definitely increased. The money, the money is obviously with corporates. Obviously, yes, the government plays their part, but we all realize that the major investment will come from the corporates, and they would be interested only if you show the impact to a wider audience and you have visibility, to put it simply. And that is where media plays a huge role. I think media and the corporates have a huge responsibility to take the game forward in every way. Only when we have enough media coverage, when the corporates see visibility and the impact of them investing in women's football, that's where the money will come from, and that's how the sport will grow.
And is there interest or growing interest in that now? Because obviously the UK have been working on this for a while, and it is now getting to a level where actually there is a lot more corporate interest. There's a lot more female players being paid. There's a lot more equality happening. Again, it's nowhere near the men's games yet, but it is moving forward. Do you think internationally, like the UK and the US and Australia and others, will that help influence corporates within India to go, okay, let's move this forward quicker?
100%, yeah. Absolutely, it 100% does. Yes, India has come a long way in terms of developing women's football, but we still are very far. And every day there are little battles that we have to keep fighting. And, we have to face these little things to make women's football be considered equally as the men's team, or invest equally, provide equal opportunities. That struggle and that challenge keeps going and can, I think it will carry on for a very, very long time, because we are way behind in that sense. But it cannot be an overnight change. It has to be, it will take time, but having that exposure of what is possible, I think that's what's US, the whole case for equal pay that US women's national team pursued for so long was very, very inspirational for all of us. That it, for me at least, it showed that, you know, this is what we should be aspiring for. This is possible, and we deserve it. And they, I think they obviously, and now it's being taken up and being given value across the world. It shows good standards and good ways and the direction in which we should be headed. And for developing countries like India, we, I think each one of us, different stakeholders, need to take up the responsibility and do their bit.
And you've mentioned your charity, She Kicks, and, you know, you are one of those stakeholders who's, you know, working in a number of areas. So as a professional player, but also your charity, what are the main aims of your charity at the moment, and where would you like it to be in the next few years?
So the main aim, the two basically ideas that I started She Kicks with, A was to increase participation of girls, because from my own experience, I saw and I realized that having the exposure of competitive sports brought out a different personality in me, a fighting spirit, a belief to stand on my own and fight and overcome anything that I can. And that's something that I feel is very extremely important for girls in India, to have their own voice and have that confidence about themselves. And I think sports does that brilliantly. Especially football, a contact, physically demanding sport like football. The other thing is, the other aim for us at She Kicks is for the girls who are passionate about football, who want to take up that career, to give them the right platform, good professional environment for them to grow and prosper, give them the right mentorship to make the journey to their professional career a little bit easier. These are the two basic aims and objectives of She Kicks.
That's great, because that first one, talking about, I think you mentioned fighting spirit and confidence and standing up for yourself. These are all those elements that sport brings that people can take into their everyday life. So it's not necessarily about all these girls wanting to become professional athletes or professional footballers. It's potentially about them using that learning from sport into other parts of their life. You then did also mention some of them will obviously try and develop into potentially professional athletes. You know, do you currently have ideas and links to move that forward? So for example, you know, are there girls who you think, you know what, we want to get them over to Loughborough, or we want to get them over to West Ham, or do you have those things going on?
Yeah, that is in fact the plan that I have. So the foundation has recently tied up with a company called UKESG. The whole idea of that collaboration is to, give the girls, the quality girls who I feel like they have a good potential, to give them that, make them come to UK, travel there, be exposed to the culture, the training. Do camps here, get exposed to the level of football that they need to be at to play internationally. Because I know that kind of experience plays a very important role in your development as a professional athlete as well. So the whole idea is to give them that international exposure. Also try to bring the knowledge and expertise that UK has developed over the years and figure out a way how we can implement that in India, and so that we can provide best opportunities to the girls.
It's good. Yeah, it's good to hear those ideas are moving forward. It'd be nice, you know, we get quite a lot of listeners on this podcast, and lots of our alumni and internationally. So, you know, hopefully some that are listening might have loads of money and they can come and give it to you to go make this move forward even quicker. So yeah, please get in touch if you have and you want to. That would be great.
Please do. We'll share the contact details.
Definitely, we can put it out there and see what we can make happen. That'd be amazing. You obviously mentioned in there the Indian girls coming over and playing football here, and obviously we know that is a problem in the UK. So you've got this kind of almost double discrimination here, or even triple, that you've got female participation is lower than males. Those from ethnic diverse backgrounds is lower than those that are from white environments. Those who are in lower socio-economic groupings, again, have lower participation rates. So, again, and one of the stats I've got here, which amazes me, 0.3% of players playing in the Women's Super League are from a South Asian women background. So did you experience any difficulties with your background within football in the UK or not? It was fairly straightforward and didn't meet any of those barriers?
I think fortunately for me, I didn't really feel that I had that kind of challenge. Yeah, I mean, I was more concentrated and focused on creating opportunities for myself and figure out how I can achieve it. So when it didn't work out at Millwall, I continued my interest to figure out where and how I can continue playing. And that's how I ended up at West Ham. But in that sense, I didn't really experience any kind of discrimination.
Would you have any thoughts on the UK regarding how we might be able to develop that? The FA have got a number of strategies that are going on to try and develop it. And I do know that within the England football team, we have a much higher rate of diversity within the youth teams in England football. It's just not at first team level at the moment. So have you got any ideas of what people might have to do, both in the UK and in India, to increase participation and break down any of these barriers?
I think it's in our culture, maybe it's very important to also have role models and have the awareness. So I think in terms of creating role models, providing those opportunities, facilitating people with skills to actually make the best use of the talent, and also spreading awareness, especially in our, in our culture, I think we come from a culture where education is normally given more priority. So then they need to be educated and maybe the parents need to be educated. There needs to be more opportunities so that the kids who want to pursue it then have that kind of family support and the courage to then pursue it. I think these are the two ways that could probably help and get more participation from ethnic background.
That's a very, very good, interesting point, that the education side being highly important in those cultures, because educationally, many of those cultures we're talking about do succeed educationally, yet in the sports side of things, they're not. So again, going back to that, highlighting jobs and careers that are potentially available is probably one of those ways, and having role models. So hopefully, again, this podcast highlighting yourself and your career, playing goalkeeper for West Ham and from
maybe one day I'll take She Kicks to the UK and work with our ethnic background and hopefully inspire more girls to play football in the UK as well.
Well, again, this podcast series is really focused on women from Loughborough working in football, and we've got a diverse group of women that are succeeding beyond all measure within football. So the podcast that from this series, we've got yourself who are on. Rebecca Savuk is our director of football across male and female, and she's co-hosted a number. She couldn't make it on this one today because she's coaching, but she has co-hosted the others with me. We've talked about coach-athlete relationship with one of our academics. We've talked about technology and injury. So one of the other podcasts with Katrine Krieger, she was a PhD student at Loughborough, and we're actually talking about injuries. So we do talk about cruciate ligament injuries, which is relevant to us both. And we talk about technology and football boots and playing surfaces and those kind of things. And we're going to finish off the podcast with Sue Anstis, who has been at the forefront, really. She's got a podcast and a company called Fearless Women. And she is a real advocate for growing female sport. So again, you know, listen to those kind of things. But my main point of listing all those is we've got some very influential females working in sport at Loughborough, and we've got some very influential people who will hopefully be listening to this podcast. So genuinely, you know, speaking to somebody like yourself and having role models from that background, you know, if that's a thing, get in touch, because I'm sure you'd be interested in the SheKick side of things in the UK and developing participation in those diverse backgrounds that we may struggle with, and having role models for those people. And I think you're the perfect person to kind of assist in these environments. So again, we've put two shout outs in this podcast, one to anybody who might want to help fund anything, and one to anybody who might want to role model in this space within professional women's football. We have one right here. So come and speak to her. And I'm sure, I'm just putting it out there for you, I'm sure you'd be interested in helping in those developments.
I'll stay connected with you, Martin. I think you can be really helpful here.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, look, the podcast is all about this. One element is to bridge the gap between academia and professional practice. But with this type of podcast, this is more of our In Conversation podcast, where we're talking about some of the issues and we're working with real people who've been around some of these issues but have overcome them. We're looking at that positive side of things. And we're saying, you know what? You know, I might be a female from India, but I can still play football at a very high level. And there I am the evidence of this. And, you know, you've got that spirit to, you know, that fighting spirit that you spoke about to make your charity and SheKicks really make a difference for, you know, for young Indian girls wanting to play football. So we are here to shout about it. And I really do hope that, you know, we get some traction from this conversation and that something can move forward to assist and develop things even faster and even quicker than what you're doing.
That'd be great, Martin.
Aditya, it's been great having you on. We've touched upon lots of things. So, you know, your background in getting into football and the multiple sports that led you into football, coming over to Loughborough and gaining that experience with Loughborough with regards to sports management and potential future careers working in sport, which then also led to that career with West Ham. And you're currently playing for India. I'm having a bit of a break with your injury. But, you know, moving forward, with your SheKicks charity, it'd be great to see the development of women's football in India, and also the potential for young Indian girls to be playing more and more football in the UK. We've put them shout outs already, but if anybody does want to get in touch, please do get in touch with me. I can pass your details on. We'll put some things out on the press release that people can see your charity work. And I wish you the best of recoveries with your ACL. And hopefully we'll see you back in the sticks for India as soon as possible.
Yes. Keeping my fingers crossed. Thanks, Martin.
Thanks for listening to the Experts in Sport podcast. If you'd like to get in touch, then please contact me, Martin Foster, at m.foster@alborough.ac.uk. Thanks for listening. See you next time.